When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for His mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Through the gates to that city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bruce. Brother Bruce Green will be graduating from Bible College this year, and we're mighty proud of him. He grew up in the church. He's been a member of this church and been attending this church longer than most people who are present today. And we're mighty proud of him. Open your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah. If you found your place in Isaiah chapter 55, would you stand, please, and follow me quietly as I read aloud? I hope you bring your Bibles to church. One of the great tricks of the devil is to get you to go to church without your Bible. If somebody teaches heresy, you won't know it because you're not following in your Scripture. And believe it or not, there's much teaching of heresy going on today in churches. Not everybody that says they're a man of God is a man of God. Not everybody that says they preach the Bible preaches this book. Every Christian ought to bring his Bible with him, open it up, and follow as the pastor preaches and teaches, and make sure what he's saying is Bible. If it's Bible, believe it. If it's not Bible, if it's just his opinion, it's as useless as trying to buy a cup of coffee with a dime. The Bible says in verse number 6, Isaiah 55, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, seek, forsake, return. Seek, forsake, return. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. You know those things that are hindering me this morning, and I need your help. I'm grateful that preaching is not just human talent or human ability, but it requires the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We ask you now to speak through us, help us to be simply your instrument, to make known your word. May you open the hearts of men and women to receive the truth of God's word. May they follow in their scripture, in the Bible, and may they discern between what's Bible and what's not, what's of God and what's not. If it's not in the Bible, then we have no reason to accept it as being from God. Now, Lord, bless these dear folks. Thank you for their being here today. Would you help them to listen on purpose? Just as I have asked you to fill me with thy spirit and speak through me, I pray that people will listen with ears that have been tuned in by the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Holy Spirit will be at work in our hearts as the Word of God is preached. Now, there's some people today that are in this service that need to be saved. Some need a church home. Some need to get right with you in their Christian life. Some need to come for baptism. Let them realize that there'll never be a better day than today. If they keep on saying no, one day God will quit asking. He'll quit speaking. And they'll be left as they are, without God and without hope. Save those that are lost and nearest hell today. We'll give you praise and thanksgiving for every soul that's saved and every decision that's made. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me begin this message with a disclaimer. I had surgery this week, and I'm having a little trouble thinking. And a preacher ought to always think before he opens his mouth. So pray that going before the words will be some thoughts led by the Spirit of God. Would you please? The prophet Isaiah wants us to know that God is as eager for sinners to hear His call and come to Him. He is eager for us to do that. He wants us to listen on purpose. He wants us to answer Him positively when He speaks. When God speaks to our heart, what kind of a person would rebel against the Creator? What kind of a person would say no when God says come? What kind of a person would say later when God says now? What kind of a person would accept His love and His extension of grace and turn it down and say, I believe I want to wait a little while? The fact is, sinners are not eager to hear God. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That's God's plea to Israel and to people today. God reminds us that the sinner is laboring and searching and spending for those things that really don't satisfy. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That's God's will for our life. In spite of the sinner's lack of concern about their eternal soul or their relationship with God, God continues to plead with them until it's too late. There comes a time when God says, that's it. God says, I've given my last invitation. I've asked you to come my last time. I've pleaded for you to be saved, but I'll plead no more. Just as God showed His mercy in dealing with David when David had sinned, God will show His mercy on sinners if they'll call upon Him. The Bible tells us that God's covenant is everlasting. What God is offering to Israel then and to us today cannot be bought with money. In fact, in verse number 1, the Lord tells us to come and buy without money. Now that ought to interest everybody here. Everybody's looking for a good deal. I'm telling you, Brother Sam Reed, our music pastor, and he'll drive to South Arlington to save 25 cents on a Coke refill. He's looking for a deal. You ladies go all over this town looking for sales and bargains at the department stores. Well, here's a deal better than any deal you've ever heard. God says you come buy what I have for you and you can buy it without money. You don't need any money. Just come and ask for it and you can have it. You see, the price of God's forgiveness and redemption is faith and not what man can earn or pay. Jesus paid the price that we owe and we could not pay. He paid that price by His own shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And He even gives to sinners who want it the faith that is necessary to ask for it. God wants you to be saved and you to get right far more than most of you want what God has to offer. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, "You know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." God's reminding us that our money is no good when it comes to salvation. It's no matter how much you have or how little you have, you're both equally invited to come and receive what God has to offer. Oh, dear soul, God wants us to come to Him far more than any sinner wants God. And He continues to call until His long-suffering wears out. Now God has promised to give us everlasting life. But He didn't say He'd give us everlasting long suffering. There's a time when God's long suffering runs out. God says, "You'll say no to me just so many times and I won't ask you again. You can turn me down just so long and I won't give you an invitation to come again." May I say, when God ceases to seek you out, you haven't got a chance of seeking Him out. No man cometh to the Father except he be drawn of the Spirit of God. Beware when you find it easy to say no to God. And by the way, every time you say no, it's a little bit easier the next time. There's less conviction the next time. Some of you have been saved and you've not yet been baptized. It's a lot harder to say no that first time than it is now. It's easy to say, "No, not yet. I'll wait a little longer." There's going to come a time when God says, "I'm not going to ask anymore. You'll face me as a disobedient Christian. You'll miss the blessing of being a part of the bride of Jesus Christ." We need to answer Him when He calls. Beware when you find it easy to say no to God. Someone's out there listening to my voice today and you're unsaved. I don't know how many times that God has spoken to your heart, but I know this. The number He will speak to your heart is far less than it was the last time. There comes a time when God says, "Not again. Not again." Beware when you can stand through an invitation and without any guilt or conviction say no and disregard God's warning and God's invitation. Listen to what God says in Proverbs 29:1. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." He's saying you can say no to God just so often. You can ignore the Word of God just so long. And every time you do, it hardens your heart and stiffens your neck. He says when you're in that situation, you're subject to face judgment at any moment without remedy, without hope, without recovery. For my message today, I want you to notice four simple facts from our scripture reading in verse 6 and 7. First of all, I want you to notice an urgent and needed undertaking. Secondly, a fearful warning. Thirdly, a needed change. And fourthly, a gracious revelation. Number one, the urgent and needed undertaking. Here it is. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. God is pleading with men and women and boys and girls to seek Him while He can be found. Call upon Him while He is near, while He is dealing with your heart. Now, nowhere in the Scripture does God tell anyone to seek happiness, joy, pleasure, profit. Nowhere does God tell us to seek that. But God does tell us to seek Him. Seek Him. If you know anything about the Scripture, if you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. The things many of you are seeking for, God has for you in a walk with God after you're saved. As Christians, we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told to walk in the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, He produces His fruit in us. And guess what His fruit is? His fruit are those things that we have been searching after and seeking after without God. The answer is coming to Him, trusting Him. The greatest need and undertaking by sinful man is to seek the Lord, to call upon Him. We need to seek the Lord and call upon Him because every one of us are sinners. Every one of us are lost to God. Without salvation, without Jesus, we're lost to God. We're lost to the promises of God. We're lost to heaven. We're lost. We're on our way to an eternity without God. You say, why should we seek the Lord? Well, because we can only seek Him when He's seeking us. While He's dealing with our hearts, we can call on Him. While He's dealing and tugging at our heartstrings, we can seek Him and find Him. But when He quits dealing with us, we'll no longer have a desire for Him. The Bible clearly teaches in John 3:18 that we're all condemned already because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that's the state of every one of us without Jesus Christ. Condemned already. You say, what does that mean? That means God's already held court on us and He's found us guilty. He's found us without God and without hope in this world. He's condemned us already to that place called hell. And the only deliverance from that condemnation comes when we seek the Lord and find Him, when we accept Him as our Savior. That is the answer. That's the great need of our life. God has already held court on us. Without Jesus Christ, we're all condemned already because we have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The answer to your salvation need is Jesus Christ. And God calls, seeks us. He speaks to us. He tells us, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Notice, call ye upon Him. God wants you to understand that salvation is an individual thing. You don't go to heaven because mom and daddy are going to heaven. You've got to get saved the same way mom and daddy did. You don't go to heaven because you live in a Christian country. You go to heaven because you seek the Lord. You call upon Him and receive Him as your Savior. Now, how many times has the Lord sought after you? How many times has He spoken to your heart? How many times have you turned Him down? How many times have you... He's called unto you and you've said no. Oh, what a dangerous thing is that is. How many times has the Holy Spirit pricked your heart about your backsliding and your need to return to God and you said no? Ah, there is nothing more urgent or needed in our life than to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. It's a terrible thing to get down and try to talk to God and heaven's brass. It's a terrible thing to try to call out to God and God said, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to hear you. You seek Him while He can be found. You call upon Him while He is near. While He's close, while He's beckoning to you. Some of you here today hear Him speaking to your heart this morning. Don't ignore Him. Answer His call. Come to Him while He's calling you. Secondly, there's a fearful warning here. The fearful warning is, while He may be found, while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek Him while He's seeking you. What a terrible thing it is to wait until you're facing hell and God says, that's it. I've given up. I'm my long suffering's worn out. I've called you over and over again and you said, no, I'm not calling again. What do you think lost sinners in hell are doing today? They're doing the same thing the rich man did. They're crying, have mercy on me. It's too late. Time's passed for that. You've lived your life. You've ignored the invitation. You didn't seek Him when He could be found. You didn't call when He was near. Now then, in hell you're crying for mercy. But it's too late. The warning is, call while He's near. Seek Him while He can be found. Don't wait until it's late. It's too late. What's implied here is that there'll come a time when He will call no more. And you don't know when that last call is. That's the reason we ought not say no to Him one time. Why should He ever give you two invitations to be saved when there's multitudes in the world that's never had one? When I was a little boy growing up, breakfast, dinner, and supper were always special times. Mama never had to call but once. When I heard Mama call, son, supper time, I made a beeline for the house. I washed my hand and I sat down on the bench by Daddy, which was my place. I was the youngest of seven kids, and I don't know why, some reason I always had to sit by Daddy. But Mama never had to call me twice. Can I tell you there's something waiting on us in heaven far greater than anything Mama and Daddy's ever prepared for us? Why should God have to call us twice? You've never been offered a gift as gracious, as valuable, as wonderful, as magnanimous as the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Why would you even consider saying no? Why would you even consider putting it off even one more day? Oh, there's a warning here. You better seek Him while He can be found. Call while He is near. I know that there's coming a time when lost sinners will be cast into the lake of fire and all hope and help is gone forever. Their cry for mercy out of hell will not be answered. However, there is a time in life when God's long suffering runs out and God says He'll no longer hear our cry for help. Let me give you an example. Noah's day, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says he preached for 120 years, and those antediluvian people, generation after generation, said no. God came to a day that God says, that's it. Noah, get you and your family in the ark. There were 8 believers in the world in that day. 8 believers that got into the ark. That ark is a picture of Jesus. God closed the door. Man couldn't open it. God closed it. And no matter how they beat and how they cried for help, no matter how they begged for them to open up and let them in, God said no. You said no to me the last time. You ignored the preacher's message for the last time. You've made your decision. Now you'll die in your sin. Let me tell you, it wasn't the flood that was the worst thing this facing. Because after they died, they had to face the wrath of God in hell forever and ever and ever. Oh, dear friend, the warning is be careful. Seek him while he can be found. Call unto him while he's near. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There'll come a time when I'll quit dealing with your heart. There'll come a time when I'll quit tugging at your heartstrings and asking you to come. There'll come a time when you'll have to live with your last decision when you said no to God forever and ever. That is a fearful warning. God gives an illustration of what it's going to be like in our day in Matthew 25. He tells us the story of 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 had made preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. The bridegroom's a picture of Jesus. The virgins are a picture of religion, believers, and those who say they're believers. Not everybody that says they're saved are saved. Not everybody that's religious has been born again. And Matthew 25 says, and the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in unto him, and the door was shut. Wonder who shut that door? He did. And guess what the foolish ones did? The ones that had been pretending, they came and knocked on the door and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. Ah, the warning is you call upon him while he is near. You seek him while he can be found. Listen to the words of Jesus as he declares to those who reject him when he came to them. John 7:34, Jesus said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither you cannot come. He's saying this to people who rejected him. John 8:21, he says again, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. He's talking to people who did not seek him while he was near. They did not answer him when he called them. God said, I'm going. You've had your opportunity. There'll come a day you'll seek me, and you won't find me. There'll come a day when you'll call out to me and I won't answer to you. That's exactly what happened to the rich man in hell. When he cried out, have mercy on me. It's too late. Too late. I'm telling you, this is a fearful warning. Dear soul, hear his call today. Come to him today. Today is the day of salvation. You say, preacher, I don't know if he'd hear me today. You came to church, didn't you? You got up this morning, got ready, and come to church. You know what that's a sign of? That he's still working on you. He's still calling to you. He's still dealing with you. You say, well, maybe next Sunday. May not ever be another Sunday like this Sunday. It's a terrible thing what happens when we say no one time too many. and our spirit changes and our attitude changes. We don't care anymore. We don't call anymore. We even joke about it. Doesn't bother us. Third thing I want to point out here is he tells us there's a needed change. A needed change. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. Now what God is speaking of here is that the wicked have been deceived into thinking that they have devised a way that will be acceptable unto God. That they think that God looks down and their way is not all that bad. Their way of action, their way of life. I can't tell you how many people have told me, listen, I'm not going to come the Bible way. I've got my own way. I've worked out this own my own thing with God. I've got news for you. You don't have your own way. God doesn't give us the privilege of deciding whether we want to go to heaven His way or our way. It's His way or no way. His way or no way. God has warned us that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Christ has plainly told us in John 14:6, He said that He was the way, He was the truth, He was the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. Now the devil's been playing dirty tricks with our minds and our thought processes. He says we're to forsake our way and our unrighteous thoughts. Let me tell you, the battle for me and you today is first of all in the mind. There is no sin that takes place in action in the flesh that doesn't begin with the thought process in the mind. And he tells us we're to forsake our unrighteous thoughts, our wrong thoughts. Every Christian in here has a battle week in and week out with wrong thoughts. That's the reason God tells us as Christians we're to renew our minds. How do we renew our mind? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. If all you do is listen to the filth on television and read the filth and watch the filth on computers and on, if all you do is feed your mind with that garbage, then that's all you're going to think about, dream about, meditate about. But you reprogram your mind with the Word of God and you can think or change your thinking process. You can begin to think right thoughts. You never get rid of the wrong thoughts, but you have right thoughts and Bible thoughts to subdue and counteract the wrong thought. It's a bad thing when there is no Scripture in your mind and heart. It's a bad thing when you can't recall a verse from God to counteract Satan's attack. But God tells us every one of us needs to forsake, the wicked needs to forsake his way and the unrighteous, his thoughts. And let me tell you where the wrong thoughts are today that's going to destroy you. In thinking you can get to heaven other than Jesus Christ. In thinking you can put it off and put it off and put it off and still face God okay. Your thoughts are wrong when you think you'll stand before God and you will have done enough good things to offset the bad things. That's stinking thinking. Forsake that wicked, that evil, unrighteous thoughts. Change your thinking. Quit thinking like a sinner. Have a change of mind and then you'll have a change of heart. Turn your thoughts toward God and your need of Him, your trust in Him. There's got to be something happen to your thinking process. It tells us to forsake our wicked ways and forsake our unrighteous thoughts. Your soul, It's not too late this morning. I say again, you've chosen to come to God's house today. There's still hope for you. Return to the Lord today. Call on Him while He is near. He'll hear you. You have no assurance that there'll ever be another invitation or opportunity for you to come to Him. No assurance whatsoever. You have this day and this day only. You have this opportunity and this opportunity only. However, you have the promise of God in Scripture today that you seek Him today while He is near, and He can be found. He can be found. He says, all who come unto me, I'll not cast one out. He says, if you'll call upon me, you shall be saved. While He is still pleading for you to come, come at once. Don't hesitate. While you're still feeling a little struggle in here, don't say no. Come, answer God, yes, I'm going to do it. You see, it's not a struggle to see how many times you can say no to God and how long you can put it off. I'm here to tell you, you're going to be the loser because there's going to come a time when God says, I'm not going to ask you anymore. And you don't know what this might be that day. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. While He is pleading, come at once. And then here's the last point. A gracious revelation. Let him return unto the Lord, and He'll have mercy upon him, for He will abundantly pardon. God says, if you'll come to me, I won't put you on probation. I won't embarrass you. I won't abuse you. I won't misuse you. If you'll come unto me, I'll have mercy on you. Oh, I'm so glad that God is a God of mercy. But there's a day when His mercy runs out. I'm so glad that God is a God of grace, but there is a day when grace no longer will be offered. I'm glad that God will pardon those who come unto Him, but there's a day when all pardon will be withdrawn. Do you think that having heard the gospel message and having said no to God over and over and over again, that God's going to welcome you into heaven anyway? Oh, how foolish to think like that. Now, God wants to save those that want to be saved. If God had so desired and so planned, God could have said, I'm just going to make salvation universal. Because I died, everybody's going to heaven. But God didn't say that. God said, I want those to be in heaven with me that want to be there with me. And if you want to be there, you're not going to say no. If you're saying no, you must love your sin more than God. You must love the future without God more than you love the future with God. How can a thinking man, a rational man, say no to the invitation of God unless you're blinded by sin, duped by the devil? Oh, here's a gracious revelation. God's not standing there with a big old mallet ready to hit you in the head and kick you off into hell. If you'll come to Him, He's got arms of grace and mercy outstretched, ready to pardon you, forgive you of your sins, and give you life everlasting beginning right here in this life when you accept Him as Savior. He's calling the wicked, the unrighteous, to come unto Him. He's not pleading with the saved to get saved again. You don't need to do that. Once you've been born again, you can't be born again. Just like I got born physically, I can't go back and say, Mama, that was so good, I want to get born again. No, I'm born physically one time into this life. And we're born spiritually one time into eternal life. But you got to call, answer Him when He's seeking you. You got to call on Him while He's near. You know, not any of us like a backslider. A backslider claims to be a Christian, is living for the devil. He's a hypocrite. and we despise hypocrites. However, a saved backslider and a saved hypocrite is better off than you are if you're lost. Oh yes, they'll have to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for their backsliding and their hypocrisy, but they've accepted the blood of Jesus and Jesus Christ as their Savior. They may not have a thing in their life to lay at the feet of Jesus. They may have lost every reward that's available to them, but they themselves will be saved so as by fire. God's grace and God's mercy. I hear people all the time saying, well, I'd get saved, but I don't like the hypocrites in the church. Well, none of us do. But may I say to you, lost sinner, they're better off than you. If they've been saved, they're going to heaven. You're without Christ, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Not so with the unsaved sinner. Because you've never called upon Jesus to save you, you'll die in your sins. And you'll stand before the great white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. Because when you had opportunity to be saved, you did not answer His gracious call. Now let me stop right here and say something to you. Those in Africa or Brazil or Asia that have never heard the gospel are also unsaved. But may I say to you, hell will be hotter for you and be worse for you that have heard and said no than it will ever be for those that said, I've never heard. It's still going to be hell. But I believe God's got more severe judgment for those who've heard and heard and heard and said no. God warns Christians. He says to Capernaum, let me give you proof of what I've just said. Capernaum heard more preaching from Jesus and saw more miracles in Jesus' life than any other city in the Holy Land during the ministry of Christ. Yet Capernaum totally rejected Him. And Jesus said to Capernaum, in that day, the day of judgment, I'll show more mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah than I will on you, because they never had the gospel preached to them. You've had it preached to you, and you've said no. Oh, my soul. My soul. But God says to you this morning, if you'll come, that He'll have mercy on you. And He will abundantly pardon. That word abundantly means that He'll give you more pardon, more forgiveness than you need. He'll give you all you need and more than you need. Abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Oh, God has provided a way through His grace and by His mercy that lost sinners can call upon His Son, Jesus Christ, and they shall be saved. And that's the only way a lost sinner can be saved. Let me say in conclusion, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to miss hell, if you want to be saved, we must call on Jesus Christ while He is near and while He can be found. There's coming a day when it'll be too late, just as it was too late for the people in Noah's day and too late for the five foolish virgins. We certainly don't want to hear those terrible words, depart from me, I know you not. So my dear friend, let me say the last time, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He'll have mercy on you. And He will abundantly pardon. Father, that's our message on this Sunday morning. God, it's not an enjoyable message unless you're saved. Not one unsaved sinner would enjoy